All right, so we're going to start here on the bottom of Yud Ben Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Belelot. One has to mention the Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this should be familiar to us because it's mentioned on the Seder night in the Haggadah. Harei ani kaven shivim shana. I'm as if I am 70 years old. Lo zachiti sh'teyamar Yitziat Mitzrayim Belelot. I was not able to know where the source was for the fact that we say Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. Achad Rasha ben Zoma. So Ben Zoma came along and explained, Shinemar, Lamantis Kurat Yom Seit Chal Meretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. The one must remember the exodus from Egypt, Kol Yimei Chayecha, all the days of your life. Yimei Chayecha, Yimei. The May are the days of your life, so you have to remember it every day. Kol is a reboy to say even more than just the days of your life. Kol Yimei Chayecha, Leilot, comes to include the nights. Chamim Omrim, Chamim say Yimei Chayecha Olam Hazeh. Kol, Navi Limota Mashiach. Kol comes to include not only now, but even in the future. Shetanyo, Amar Lem Ben Zoma L'Chachamim, Chim Haskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim L'Mot HaMashiach. Why would we mention Yitziat Mitzrayim L'Atid Lavo in the future? Halo Kva Ne'amar, it already says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Hinei Yamim Ba'im Ne'um Hashem, V'lo Yomru Od Chai Hashem, Asher Helad Bnei Yisrael Meretzrayim. There'll be these days that come in the future where we no longer will say, wow, this is the God that took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But rather, Kim Chai Hashem Asherla, V'Asher Vi Et Zera Beit Yisrael Meretz Tzfona Mikol Haratzot Asher Yidachtim Sham. But rather, the new Geula will be paramount and primary, and we will speak about the Shem who took us out of those northern lands and all the other lands where they've been dispersed. So it sounds from here that praise will be to the Shem who brings in or gathers in the exiles from where they are today. Yetziat Mitzrayim will be almost irrelevant at that point in time because you will only focus on the new Geula, which will be much greater and much more extreme in its form. Yetziat Mitzrayim is not going to be mentioned, as the Pasuk says. Lo yomru old. They will no longer talk about Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim, but rather about that which is current. So amru lo, they said back to him, lo shetei yitziat Mitzrayim bim koma. That doesn't mean that the exodus will be as if it's non-existent anymore. Hashdei shibud malchiot ikar yitziat Mitzrayim tafelo. Rather, there's going to be a primary and secondary. The primary talk and the primary the praise of Hashem will be for the Geula that's taking place then, but that doesn't mean that the praise for Geulat Mitzrayim won't still exist or won't still be relevant. Kiyotzibo, and now they bring an example to this. Ata omer, lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov kim Yisrael. Yeshemecho, Shem promises Yaakov that his name will be changed now. He will no longer be called Yaakov, but rather Yisrael. Lo sheyaker Yaakov mimkomo. It's not that the name Yaakov will no longer be used. El Yisrael yikar. Israel will be the primary name of Yaakov. Yaakov tafelo, and Yaakov will be the secondary name. V'chein humor, and they bring proof to that. Altiz kiru rishonot v'kadmoniot, altid bonanu. Says, don't remember that which took place in the early years. And the early days, altid bonanu, don't think about them anymore. Altiz kiru rishonot zeshibud malkiot. Don't mention that which took place, all of the exiles that took place. V'kadmoniot altid bonanu, zu yetziat Mitzrayim. And don't think about that which took place in the yesteryear. That is Yitziat Mitzrayim. So you see that the Pasuk says that we're not going to remember it. The continuation of that Pasuk, there's a Pasuk we just quoted was Pasuk Yudchet. The next Pasuk is Pasuk Yudtet. And there it says, Hinini Oseh Hadasha Atat Titzmach. I'm going to bring around a new reality. Tani Rav Yosef, what's this referring to? Zu Milchemet Gog u'Magog. Mashal Lama Davar Dumeh. What is this like? L'adam shayya melech v'derech upaga bo zev. Walking along the road and he bumps into a wolf. V'nitzal emenu. And then he's saved from him. V'ya mesaper v'lech maseh zev. Anytime that he bumped into, he talked about this incident with the wolf. Upaga bo ari. Then he bumped into a lion. V'nitzal emenu. And he was saved from a lion. V'ya mesaper v'lech maseh ari. After that, anybody bumped into, and all he talked about was the incident with the lion. Upaga bo nachash. After that, he bumps into a snake. V'nitzal emenu. And he was saved. Shachach maseh shnehem, he forgot about the wolf and the lion. V'yamaseper v'lech maseh nachash, and all he spoke about was the incident with the snake. Avkach, Yisrael tzarot achronot, mishkachot et arishonot. The latter difficulties cause the earlier difficulties to disappear and are be forgotten about. But again, this is not something where we won't mention them, or we won't talk about them. They'll just pale in comparison to that which is happening now. So it's not no Yitziat Mitzrayim anymore, it's just rather there'll be other things to talk about that will be much more relevant, topical, and more, I guess, extreme in their form, and therefore they're going to get the primary focus and the limelight, and Yitziat Mitzrayim will take a back seat. But again, the idea being that there is no elimination of Yitziat Mitzrayim over here. And that's what the Rabbanan are saying back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there is Yitziat Mitzrayim Latid Lavo, even though it's of only secondary importance. Now, the Gemara is going to move on to discuss that this isn't always true. Here we discuss the fact that when you change a name, for instance, Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, yet his original name remained in place. We have other names that were changed, and when they were changed, they were permanently changed, that they never go back. And that is Avram, who Avraham. It's mentioned in Divrei Yamim. Avram is the same as Abraham. We know that Hashem changed Avram's name to Avraham. B'tchila, in the beginning, was called Avram Nase Avli Aram, because he was a leader of his nation, of Aram. As Rashi says of Yerushim, Eretz Aram Haya, he was from Eretz Aram. Now, there is a machloket in the Rishonim as to where Avram was actually born. And the Rishonim debate this pretty heatedly in Sefer Breshit, about whether he was born in Ur Kasdim, or he's born in Aram Naharaim. Rashi here brings some of the proofs to the fact that he was born in Aram, or that it sounds like he was born in Aram. Either way, the Gemara is darshing Avram, where Avram resided for a number of years, was that he was Av the Aram, Ulusof. When he added on the hay, he became Av the Chol Olam. The additional hay made him a broader figure of prominence within the world. Sarai, he's Sarah. Same thing with Sarai Yemenu. Her original name was Sarai. Hashem changes it to Sarah. Tilat Nasis Sarai Bu'umata. At first, she was just a princess, a leader over her nation. And Rashi says Sarai is Lashon Yachid, Lashon Sariti. And then afterwards, when she was changed to Sarah, Sarah the Chol Ha'olam Kula. Sarah being the princess or the matriarch of the entire world. And so here we have changes in names where Avram was changed to Avraham, Sarai changed to Sarah, where those names were changed permanently, and after they were changed, we do not see the old name in use at all. Now here, it's because there is a significant change in the standing of the individual between the two names. Avram to Avraham and Sarai to Sarah, the way the Gemara is darshing it now, has significance that's irreversible. And that's why you can't go back. Those changes are, in a sense, irreversible, because their standing and stature has changed based on the name change. That's not true by Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov and Yisrael, while they have different meanings and they have implications in terms of stature, in terms of standing, nevertheless, Yaakov and Yisrael, Yaakov still remains the patriarch, the father of the Yud Bet Shvatim, just like Yisrael was. The change wasn't as significant that we see between Avram and Avraham and Sarai and Sarah. And therefore, the name change by Sarai and Avram is permanent, which is not the case by Yaakov. So by Yaakov, the name change from Yaakov to Yisrael is of less significance in terms of the change, and therefore that change becomes primary and secondary versus Avraham and Sarah, where it becomes a permanent change. And so permanent that we have the next line in the Gemara, which is Tani Bar Kapara, Kol HaKorel Avram Avram Over Ba'aseh. Anybody who uses the term Avram to describe Avraham has violated a positive commandment. Shenemar Vayashimcha Avraham. The Torah says that your name will now be Avraham. In violation of a negative commandment, that they will not call you any longer Avram. If someone goes and speaks about Sarah and calls her Sarai, that would be the same thing. Over there, God speaks to Avram and says, Sarai. There, it's not a command, it's not a tzivui in the text. When it comes to Avram's name, the text is giving a tzivui as to what the status of Avram's name is. On the hand, by Sarai, it's not a tzivui to the reader, it's rather a narrative of Hashem's conversation with Avram and saying that your wife will no longer be called Sarai, but rather Sarah. And therefore, we do not bring the same conclusions from the pasuk of Lo Tikra will be a lota, say like we say by Avraham. Elimiata, Akreli Yaakov, Yaakov Hachanami. So why don't you say the same thing by Yaakov? There we do have the pasuk, which it says, Lo yikra shimcha od Yaakov. So why don't we say there that there's a lo ta'aseh? It says, Hachanami shani hatam, the hada hadre kra. Over there it's different, because the pasuk itself calls Yaakov, Yaakov again, dichtiv. When Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim, and he stops in Beersheba, and Hashem appears to him, it says, Vayomer Elokim liYisrael. So he speaks to Israel, which is his new name, Bavarot alayla, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov. He calls him Yaakov, Yaakov. So you see the pasuk itself, after changing his name, goes back and calls him Yaakov. That's almost like a heter to call him Yaakov. So Meiti Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, if you're right about Avraham, Vitei Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvido, what do we say in davening every morning? Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Bi Avram. Votzeitim Ur Kasdim V'samtishmo Avraham. So we call him Avram every morning. So how could that be? And that's a Navi who called Abraham Avram, obviously years later. Over there, the Navi is laying out the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that which had transpired in the past, in the history. And so therefore, it's a narrative of the history. It's not calling Avraham Avram. It's just giving you the background to that which happened. His name was once Avram, and now it is Avraham. And even in the context of the pasuk there, which the Gemara could have answered, the pasuk is telling you that they switched the name from Avram to Avraham. Just like when we're reading in the Gemara, it's not problematic for us to say Avram when we're saying that the Gemara says it's changed to Avraham. And same thing when you read it in the Torah like that. The fact that the Navi mentions it, it's not because they're calling him Avram, but rather they're giving a history or the historical context in which this all transpired. The fact that the Navi termed him as Avram should be a matir for us to also term him as Avram. No, that's not a matir. It's not that they're using his name again. It's just giving a historical narrative about what transpired. It's not a reset or usage of his name in a new context. Unlike what happened with Yaakov, where God is speaking to Yaakov and calling him Yaakov after he already changed his name, which is clearly a matir or a reset for the name. Right? As far as the conclusion of this parak, parak here concludes that we have to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim in the morning and night, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. According to Chachamim, you have to mention it during the day. But at night you do not have to mention it because that's the Imot HaMashiach. So if you have a machloket between the Chachamim and Elazar ben Azariah, generally we would paskin like the Chachamim. Halacha should be like the Chachamim that you only mention Yetziat Mitzrayim during the day and not during the night. Which is interesting because our practice is actually to mention and to say Yetziat Mitzrayim at night as well. Because we, when we say Shema, have all three parshiot, Yoshma, Vayayim Shemoa, and Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Rambam explicitly mentions this, that Kriyat Shema, or what's called Shema, includes all three parshiot. And we mentioned this in the introduction to Masechet Brachot about what is exactly the mitzvah of Shema. Over there, the Rambam seems to indicate that there are three parshiot to Shema, that is Shema, Vayayim Shemoa, and then the parsha Vayomer. And according to the Rambam, you have to say Shema, Ubshoch, Bechov, Kumecha. That means that all three parshiot get mentioned in both places. The Rambam does seem to indicate that there is an issue of mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim both during the day and at night. On the other hand, in the Shulchan Aruch, there is no mention with regards to Yetziat Mitzrayim at night. Shulchan Aruch does mention the mitzvah when it comes to the morning, that you do have to, during the day, mention Yetziat Mitzrayim. At night, even though he speaks about Kriyat Shema generally, he does not speak about there being a specific or particular mitzvah to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim at night. And that would make sense, according to what our Mishnah lays out over here, that the halacha is like the Chachamim, that the din of saying Yetziat Mitzrayim is only during the daytime, not at night, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch does not mention it, or does not bring it down as a specific chiyuv of mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim at night. On the other hand, our practice still is to say Yetziat Mitzrayim at night, and to put the Parsha of Vayomer in. That we know, like the Rambam seems to indicate that's true. The question of why we have to leave, we'll leave to the next parak. The next parak will deal with why we have these three parshiot. In that context, either later on today's daf or maybe in the next day's daf, I'll mention why maybe we have the practice to say Yetziat Mitzrayim despite the fact that the halacha might be like the Chachamim over here. Okay, now we're beginning the new parak. Haya koreh b'Torah, v'hagiya zman ha-mikra. He's reading through the Torah, and it comes to the time when it's zman to read Kriyat Shema. Im kiven libo yatza. If he has particular kavanah, intent for the mitzvah, then he's fine, he's yotzei the mitzvah. But prokim, now the Mishnah moves over to another topic, which is interruptions in Shema. But prokim, when he's in between paragraphs in Shema, and that's also between the brachot, shu'el mipnei hakavod umeshiv. He's allowed to address someone who he is generally required to give honor to, and if that person addresses him, he can respond to them. If they say Shalom Aleichem, he can say Aleichem Shalom. He can respond to them. Be'emtza, if he's found between, meaning in the middle of a paragraph of the Shema, or in the middle of the brachot of Kriyat Shema, Shuel mipnei ha'ira, he's allowed to greet someone who, if he doesn't greet them properly, will kill him, or could kill him. U'meshiv, and he can respond to such an individual if they greet him. Divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, and we'll see this in the Gemara later on, basically says that there are only two levels here. There's kavod and yira. When it comes to kavod, kavod only applies when you're in between paragraphs or in between brachot. And yira applies throughout Kriyat Shema. You can interrupt any time to save your life in order to respond or even to greet such an individual. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says that there's a skew here. Rav Yehuda Meir, be'emtza shuel mipnei yira. Just like Rabbi Meir, if you're found in the middle of Kriyat Shema, you can even greet someone when it comes to fear. But you also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, may be meshiv mipnei hakavod. You can respond to someone who normally you have to give honor to, if they greeted you, then you can respond in kind with a greeting, even though you're in the middle. Uber prakim, when you're in between the parshiot or in between the brachot, then you're shalom mipnei akavod, similar to Rabbi Meir, but you're also allowed to meshiv shalom lechol adam. You can respond to anybody. Anybody who's greeted you, you can respond to them in those positions. So Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient in terms of responses versus greetings. In greetings, he agrees with Rabbi Meir. You can greet mipnei ayira anywhere. You can greet mipnei akavod in between the paragraphs. But when it comes to the responses or responding to someone's greeting, Rabbi Meir says it's on the same level as you greeting someone else. As Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you get an extra level there. So therefore, when you're in the middle of the paragraphs, you're allowed to respond to mipnei akavod. And even when you're in between the paragraphs, you can respond mipnei shalom to anyone, to any person. So now the Gemara defines for us what's Elohein ben aprakim. What does it mean between the paragraphs here? So ben bracha rishona l'shnia, between Yotzer Amiorot to Ava Rabba, between the first bracha and the second bracha. Ben Shnia to Shema, between Abucher B'Moizel Be'ava to the beginning of Shema. Ben Shema L'Vahayayim Shema, Tavdam Amazot Be'techo V'Yishrecha, then V'Hayayim Shema, in between those two. Ben V'Hayayim Shema L'Vayomer, between the end of V'Hayayim Shema, Kimei Shemaim Ha'aretz, and then Vayomer. That's in between a paragraph. Ben V'Yomer L'Emet V'Yatziv, and then after Hashem L'Kechem, and then Emet V'Yatziv, between those you can separate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says you may not interrupt between Hashem Elokechem to Emet V'Yatziv. Remember, in the Torah, all that's found is Ani Hashem Elokechem. Emet V'Yatziv is a new tefillah. It's the letter bracha that is found in Birkat Kriyat Shema, bracha of Geula. It starts out Emet V'Yatziv. Rabbi Yehuda says we must connect between the two of them. Lo Yafsik, you're not to interrupt them. And that's our practice, which is Ani Hashem Elokechem. We say Emet. We put the Emet together with it. And that might have to do with what I mentioned in yesterday's daf, that when it comes to Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, even though we attribute that to the paragraphs of Shema, Vahavta, and Vayayim Shemoa, and Vayomer, nevertheless, in the end, those are just quotes of Psukim from the Torah. The affirmation of that Kabbalah is really brought about by the paragraph afterwards, which is Emet, V'Yatziv, V'Nachon, V'Kayam. All of those are describing our acceptance of the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. It's really the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, because there we affirm what we said beforehand in our own words. We're affirming it rather than quoting psukim that seem to indicate our necessity for us to be mikabel o malchut shemayim. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, lama kodma parshat shema levayayim shema? Why does shema come first and then vayayim shema? Kedeli, shikabel alav o malchut shemayim tchila. Because shema has the fundamentals of accepting the yoke of heaven, the basics of shema yisrael Hashem lakenu Hashem echad, avat Hashem, yirat Hashem, v'achar kach mikabel alav o mitzvot. Vayayim Shema discusses the necessity to accept all the mitzvot, to listen to Hashem, and to do all the mitzvot. So that's secondary to Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, therefore it comes afterwards. And then Vayayim Shema Vayomer, Shavayayim Shema Noheg Ben Bayom Ben Belayla. Vayayim Shema has relevance both in day and night. Talks about mitzvot, talks about Limud HaTorah, all these things that have application equally during the day and during the night, versus the Vayomer, which is speaking about Tzitzit, which is Enoheg Ela Biyom Bilvad. That's only relevant during the day, or it's only relevant to Ksut Yom, to daytime clothing, however you formulate it, because it says, Uritem Oto Zechartem Et Mitzvot Hashem. You have to be able to see the Tzitzit, and then you'll remember. So it's only relevant to see when it's light outside. When it's dark outside, it's no longer relevant to see. So that's why with the hierarchy, in terms of laying out the Parshiot, raised from Mishma, Vayayim Shemo, and then Vayomer, is because of this hierarchy within them about the importance of that which is mentioned, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, then Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, and then Tzitzit, which is only relevant during the day and not at night. Shema Mina. The Gemara says we can come to one simple conclusion from our Mishnah, which is Mitzvot, Tzrichot, Kavanah. Because that Mitzvot must need a Kavanah. Because over here you're saying that if he was reading the Torah, and then Zman Kriyat Shema came, in Kiven Libo. If he had kavanah, if he had proper intent at that time, yotza. Implying that if he did not have proper intent, he would not be yotze. Where it says, easy conclusion here, machloket and Rosh Hashanah, Rava speaks about mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah. Over here, it seems pretty clear from this mission that mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. Mai im kiven libo, likrot. That means to read it. So Gemara rejects that assumption. The kavanah is the kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah, but rather the kavanah here is to read it. Where it says, likrot, vaka kari. What do you mean? He's already reading it. That's exactly what it said. Hayakore batorah. He's already reading it. What do you mean he has kavanah to read it? He is reading. Gemara says, no. The kore la gia. When he's originally reading it, he was reading it in order to check it. Lagia means to check it. Here you have differences in the Rishonim. For instance, Rashi and the Talmid of Reino Yonah explain Karela Agia over here, either as Rashi says, he reads it in order to check that everything is fine in here. The way the Tobina Riona say that they take out two Sfarim, he reads from one and then he reads from the other, reads from one, reads from the other. So that's the Agah that's going on over here. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, what's the big deal? Even if he's reading like that, he's still reading. So Tosafot, on the other hand, explains, Korela Agia is that he reads it as a Ktiv and not a Kri. He does not follow the Nikudot because he wants to make sure the letters are correct. And so therefore he pronounces the words the way they are written, not the Mesorah they have, that we have in order to read them according to the Nikudot or the Trup that we have for each one of them. And so that's why he's not Yotze, because he's not reading it like it should be. And Tosafot gives examples of words where you would read them differently, like for instance, mizuzot, which is spelled with one vav and not malay in both places. And so then you would read it instead of mizuzot, you read it mizuzat, because there you want to make sure that you wrote it correctly with one vav and not two vavs. So when you say mizuzat, you're not yotze, because you're reading the incorrect word, and that's what he says that it means, the korel hagia. In terms of kavana, mitzvot tzrichot kavana, this turns out to be major machloket rishonim, what we do in the end. Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim in Chilkot Kriyat Shema Siman Samach says in Siv Dalet Yesh Omrim she'ain mitzvot tzrichot kavana v'yesh omrim she'tzrichot kavana latzei pesiyata oto mitzvah v'chein alacha. Some people say that mitzvot tzrichot kavana, and that would be same would be true here. By Kriyat Shema you would require kavana, and then there are some that say mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. Now, as the Mishnah Berurah points out over here, there's two types of kavana that we're speaking about here. Kavanah, in terms of being yotzei the mitzvah, and that's what's being discussed here. Do you have to have active kavanah that you are intending to mikayim a mitzvah now? But there's also a kavanah, which is basic kavanah for what you're saying, what you're doing, that you know that you're taking an action, that you know that you're saying words and your mind's not floating somewhere else. Over there, everybody agrees lechatchila, you need that type of kavanah in order to be yotzei. The only machloket, only issue being discussed over here by the Shulchan Aruch is whether you need active kavanah in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. And the Shulchan Aruch concludes over here that mitzvot tzrichot kavanah v'chein alocha, and that is alocha. Now the Achronim discuss exactly what that means, and we also have a position here that even though in general mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah, nevertheless, maybe here by Kriyat Shema and mitzvot that deal with amirah, there might be a different din because the whole mitzvah revolves around that amirah and that kavanah. You can't have a kiyum when the whole kiyum is believe and is in the amirah when you don't have kavanah to do that. Just saying words cannot be the accomplishment of it. So maybe even according to those that say mitzvah dein tzrichot kavanah, many of the achronim believe by Kriyat Shema, at least for the first pasuk of Shema, there is a din of mitzvah tzrichot kavanah. The whole nature of this mitzvah is the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. And since that's the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, you would only be able to do that if you were mitzkavein to do that. You can't have a case where you have no kavanah and you do it. There's no just maisa. There's no just action over here. The only action is the kiyum, which is the kiyum shebelev, that you accept Hashem as the God. And therefore, even if you believe mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah generally, over here you would believe by Shema that you would have tzrichot kavanah. Now in terms of broadly with other mitzvot, that machloket, is a machloket when we say mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, does that only apply to mitzvot de'oraita, Torah level mitzvot, or does it also apply to mitzvot de'rabanan? There are many believe, including the Magen Avraham, even if you think that mitzvot tzrichot kavanah throughout the Torah, nevertheless, that only applies to mitzvot ben haTorah. Mitzvot de'rabanan will not require kavanah. How much do we need kavanah for? The Gemara will discuss in 1 second. Where it says, Tan Rabbanan, Kriyat Shema Chichtava Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says you have to read Kriyat Shema the way it's written, in Hebrew. Chumim Amrim, B'chol Lashon, Chumim say you can say Kriyat Shema in any language that you understand. So, my time of the Rabbi, Amar Kra, V'hayu. Pasuk says, V'hayu Advarim Eile, V'hayu is the Gemara Darshins in many places, V'hayatan Yehu. They will be exactly as they are. Exactly as they are means the way it's written in the Torah. It's written in Hebrew. Therefore, you got to read it in Hebrew. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, Rabbanan Maitamayu, Amar Kra, Shema, Bechol Lashon, Shata Shomea. Say Shema. You must listen. You must hear. That's only the case when you can understand what you're hearing. So any language that you understand, that's fine. Well, the Rabbi, Namay Aktiv, Shema. So doesn't Rabbi also have the word Shema, which seems to imply that you can do it in any language? How mi boile, that he needs the hashmela znecha mashatom otzeh mipicha, that you have to hear what you're saying. It's not enough just to read Kriyat Shema in your heart. You must actually say the words loud enough that you yourself can hear them. Rabbanan Zarveh, command amr, lo yishmela zno yatza. They hold like the manda amr that bidyevid. If you didn't hear what you said, you're still yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Rabbanan nami ha kti vihayu. Well, for the Rabbanan, they had the same problem the other way around, which is that they also have the word vayu. And Rabbi's drush of Rabbi Yatanyahu is pretty good. So it says, they need that to teach you that you may not read it out of order. Kriyat Shema must be read in the proper order, the order that is written. You can't mix up the psukim, move them around, and you can't even mix up the paragraphs necessarily. It has to be read in order. And that's what Vahayu means. The way they're found, that's the way you do it. So Rabbi Shalei Yikra L'Mafreya Minole, how does Rabbi know that you can't read it retroactively, meaning out of order? So Nachalei Midvarim Hadvarim, because it says Vahayu Hadivarim. So it could have just said Vahayu Dvarim. Why does it say Hadvarim? Hadvarim means these things in this way. So that's why we know it's ma'akev to have the order. Rabbanan dvarim advarim lo darshe. They don't think that extra hey is so meaningful, and therefore they're not doreshit. So Agmar says, let's infer from this, l'memra, to savar rabbi to chola Torah kula b'chol lashon nemra, that the Torah was written in all the languages. Hashem gave the Torah at Sinai, gave it in all the languages available. Disakadatcha b'lashon kodesh nemra, if you think that it was given in Hebrew, then vahayu dechtiv rachman olomali. Then why do I need vahayu in the paragraph of Shema to tell me that I must read in Hebrew? Well, if the only language the Torah was given in was Hebrew, then that's the only language you can read it in. So Yitzchak says, no, we need that Mishum Dechtiv Shema, because the Pasuk says Shema. So you have competition here between the word Shema, saying that, saying in any language, and Vahiyu to say it only in Hebrew. So the Vahiyu over here, even though the rest of the Torah is only written in Hebrew, and there's no reason to believe that you shouldn't write it in Hebrew because of the Tzivoy of Shema here, you would think you wouldn't have to. Vahiyu comes to say that that's not the case. So now Gemara goes the other way. The memory de Savi Rabbanon de Chol Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, that the whole Torah is written in Hebrew. Di Saka Datcho B'Chol Lashon Nemra, because if you think that it was written in any language, Shema Dichtav Rechman Alomali, then why do I need a specific Tzivoy by Shema to tell me that I can say it in any language? If the whole Torah is given in any language, then the same should be true by Shema. I don't need a specific dispensation by Shema. Gemara says, no. Itzrich mishum dechtiv v'hayu. Because over here, again, we have a mitigating factor, which is v'hayu, like the way Rabbi darshans it, would have made us think maybe it's different over here. So Shema comes to offset that factor, and because it comes to offset the factor, you can't conclude anything else about the rest of the Torah. What's interesting here is this opinion that the rest of the Torah is written b'chol lashon. What does that mean, it's written b'chol lashon? What type of implications does that have, that it's written b'chol lashon? So Rashi of Megillah says, that's for Kriyat HaTorah. When you have Kriyat HaTorah, you have to read it in Hebrew, or you can read it in any language, depending on this argument over here. Tosafot says, I don't understand that, because Kriyat HaTorah was only nitkan much later on. It was only put into place by Ezra. Now, the Gemara over there talks about whether Moshe put certain things in place, and Ezra only rectified or changed it a little bit. Tosafot was saying that it didn't come into much later that they had this Kriyat HaTorah, and that means, what did you darshan with the word v'hayu until that point in time? What does it mean that b'chol lashon nemra until that point in time? Tosafot says that there's certain requirements to read paragraphs min HaTorah. Parshat Amalek, Parshat Bikurim, Parshat Vidui Maser. These are all requirements of parshiot that must be read. And since they must be read, the question is, do they have to be read in Hebrew, or can they be read in any Lashon? So this Gemara here is suggesting that maybe the whole Torah was said, B'chol Lashon Ne'emra, would mean that you could read these required paragraphs from the Torah, you could read them in any language that you wanted. Now we're continuing in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, this is a Breita, V'hayu. The word Hayu comes to teach us, Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya, that you may not read it out of order, similar to what we saw the Chachamim Darshan from the word Vayu before. Then, Hadvarim al Livavecha. So we know the Pasuk says, Vayu Hadvarim Ha'il Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Yom al Livavecha. Yachol Tehei Kol HaParsha Tzricha Kavana. I would think that the entire paragraph, meaning the whole paragraph of Shema, would require a Kavana intent. Talmud Omar Ha'ela. It says, Vayu Hadvarim Ha'il. Only these. Adkan Tzricha Kavana. Until this point, you need Kavana. Mikan Ve'elech, Ein Tzricha Kavana. From this point forward, you do not need Karvana, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. It's actually here, Machlokat Rashi and Tosafot, what it means, Ha'ela. It says, Vayu Advrim Ha'ela. Until when do you need to say, Kriyat Shema and have Kavana? Tosafot says, Vayu Advrim Ha'ela is referring to Eled, the things that came beforehand. That means that you have to say Shema, and then Avahafta through Me'odecha B'Kavana. After that, you don't need Kavana. Adeha and Rashi says, Vayu Advrim Ha'ela is prospective. It's going on the remainder of that pasuk. These things, Asher Anochim Tzavchayom, Al Levavecha. So until you get to Levavecha, until there you need Kavana. Beyond that point, you do not need Kavana. So according to Rashi, the first three psukim need Kavana. That's Shema, Vahafta, and then Vayu. But it's according to Tosafot, it's only the first two psukim, according to Rebbe, that need Kavana, which is Shema Yisrael, and Vahafta. Samalei Rabbi Akiva, Harei Omer, Pasuk says, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha. Wait a minute. It says here, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha, sounds like everything has to be on your heart. The remainder of Shema has to be on your heart. That the entire parsha of Ve'ahavta requires kavanah. Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aloha Rabbi Akiva. The Aloha is like Rabbi Akiva that you need kavanah not only for Shema, but for the entire first paragraph until Tavtama Mezuzot Petecho Visharecha. So that's one Breita and Psalm Aloha on that Breita. Ika Dematli Lahad Detanya. Some say this memra of Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan on this Breita. Koreta Shema Tzarech Shir Kavanah Libo. Person who's reading Shema has to have intent, has to have kavanah. V'acho Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kaven Shikiven Libo Beperk Rishon Shuveno Tzarech. As long as he has kavanah for the first parak, meaning the Shema part of it, then he's fine. Amar Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan, Locha Kirav Acha Shemar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. So the Locha is like Rav Acha, who says the name of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the same opinion that we saw in Rabbi Akiva before. It's unclear as to where they said the Locha is like, but in both instances comes to the same conclusion, which is you need kavanah through the entire first paragraph. So now the Gemara brings Tanya Idach. We have additional Breito to give us opinions about this. V'hayu. Shalo yikrala mafreya, may not read out of order. Ala vavecha, Rav Zutra mer adkan mitzvat kavanah. Until this point is the din of kavanah. Mikan ve'elech, mitzvat kriya. From there forward, you only have to read it. You don't have to have kavanah. Now just so you know, when we say ala vavecha means for the entire first paragraph. It means you need kavanah for Shema. For vayayim Shema, you do not require Shema, you only have to read it. Rabbi Yoshai Omer, Adkan Mitzvat Kriya. For the first paragraph, for Shema, you do not need any Kavanah. Mikan Ve'elech Mitzvat Kavanah. In Vayam Shema, you do require Kavanah. Where it says, okay, let's understand this. Maishna Mikan Ve'elech Mitzvat Kriya. Why is it by Vayam Shema that Rav Zutra says that you only have to read it, you don't have to have Kavanah? Dichtiv, because it says in Vayam Shema, L'daber Bom. L'manatem Otam B'neichem, L'daber Bom, B'shivtecha B'veitecha, V'lechtecha V'derech, U'b'shach B'chov Kumecha. So that the Daber Bam teaches you that you just have to be Dibur. Dibur is sufficient. So Hachanami, well, isn't that true in the first paragraph? In Shema also, Vaktiv. It says over in the first paragraph in Shema, which is Vishinamto Vanecha Bidibar Tabam. Sounds like you just have to speak about them. So Hachikamar. So let's rephrase what we meant in Rav Zutra's position. Adkan mitzvah kana banavi kriya. You're right. There is a mitzvah of kriya even for Shema also. But there's an additional mitzvah of kavanah. Mikan ve'elech. There you can read it, and you don't require kavanah in that instance. So both Shema and Vayayim Shema have a mitzvah of kriya. Only Shema, the first paragraph, has a mitzvah of kavanah as well. Mar says, okay, let's understand that. Why is it, until that point, you have a mitzvah of kavanah kriya, dichtiv? Because it says in Shema, al levavecha. Al levavecha means you have to put them out your heart, you have to have kavanah. V'dibar tabam. And then it says to speak about them. So you have al levavecha and dibar tabam. So Hatam Nami, you have the same thing in Vayayim Shema. Dechativ alavavchem v'daber bam. It also has a requirement that you place them on your heart. V'santem d'vayil alavavchem v'al nafshechem. K'shatam otam l'yot al yadchem v'ilotot v'ol b'neinechem. Then v'imadatem otam b'neinechem l'daber bam. So you have the same psukim that are indicating that it should be kavanah and kriya as well. So it says no. In the second paragraph, in Vayayim Shema, we have a different limud that we use for alavavchem. Because over there it says, what does it mean you have to place these words on your heart? That when you place on the tefillin have to be opposite the heart. Now this has two implications. As Rashi points out, it's the location on your arm where you place the tefillin. You don't wear the tefillin al yadcha on your hand, but rather your hand al yadcha keneged alev, opposite the heart. And that is, at the lower part of the bicep. That's where you put the tefillin, which is opposite the heart of the individual. That's one halacha that comes out of it. Second halacha that comes out of this is that when you actually do put on the tefillin, you're supposed to tilt them inward a little bit, so they face towards the heart. And that's from this halacha of Santo de Raela, al-davavchem, that it should be towards your heart. These words, the tefillin that are coming up in that paragraph, have to be keneged alev. So since we use that already for a different limud, it's not available to teach us that you need kavanah by Vayayim Shema. Vayam Shema only has the Daber Bam, which is a requirement of Kriya. Rishma has both the requirement of Kriya as well as the requirement of Kavanah, because we don't have another limud to use these words of the Daber Bam and Alav Avecho for. Amar Mar. So now the Gemara goes back to the Braita to Rabbi Yoshia's position. Rabbi Yoshia says, Omer Adkan Mitzvat Kriya. First paragraph Shema only requires Kriya. Mikan Ve'elech Mitzvat Kavanah. From there forward, it also requires Kavanah. I mean, Vayam Shema requires Kavanah, not the first paragraph. So Maishna Mikan Ve'elech Mitzvat Kavanah. Why is it from Vavayim Shmo you require Kavanah? Shum Dichtiv Alavavchem. Because you have the pasuk of Vesamtim Devarayel Alavavchem. Hachanami Aktiv Alavavechem. In the first paragraph it says Alavavechem, which also should require Kavanah. It says Hachikamar. Adkan mitzvah Kriya Vikavanah. Until this point there's a mitzvah of Kriya Kavanah. Mikam Ve'elech Kavanah below Kriya. In the first paragraph, Shema, you require Kavanah and Kriya. The second paragraph, Vayim Shemo, requires Kavanah, but no Kriya. Umayishnad kan mitzvah Kriya v'Kavanah. So why is it that Shema requires both of them? Because it says Alevavecha and V'dibar Tabam. So Hatanami, in the second paragraph, Vayim Shemo, you have the same thing. Aktiv Alevavchem, L'daber Bam. When it says, how would be divrei Torah aktiv? When it says L'daber Bam, it's not referring to Vayim Shemo, it's referring to divrei Torah b'chlal. This is what the Torah is saying to you. Agmiru b'naichu Torah, geicha delagar subu. Teach your children Torah so that they should speak in Torah. So he says, "Lemantet tamet b'neichem." Teach this Torah to your children, ledaber bam, so that they will speak in Torah. That will be their conversation. That will be what they are interested in, and that's what they engage in. Ledaber bam is not saying about Vayim Shemo itself, but rather about divrei Torah bichlal. Pasuk itself seems to indicate that because it says, "Lemantetem otamet b'neichem." That's to teach them that Torah. So that'll be the difference. So in the end, both Rav Zutra and Rav Yoshia believe that Shema requires Kriya and Kavanah. The machloket is about Vayim Shemo, what's required. According to Rav Zutra, you only require Kriya, Bavayim Shema, and according to Rabbi Yoshia, you require just Kavanah and no Kriya, Bavayim Shema. Right, Tan Rabbanan. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Kan Tzricha Kavanat Alev, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says that's the only part you need Kavanah for, is that first Pasuk. So Amar Rava Halocha to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says the Halocha is like Rabbi Meir. As Tosfot points out, Rava is a Batra. If Rava is a Batra, then Hachi Yochata. That we paskan like Rava, that you only need Kavanah for the first Pasuk in Kriyat Shema. Tanya Sumchos Omer Ko Marich Bechad Merchin Lo Yom Avush Notav. Anybody who extends the word Echad in Shema, that will extend his life and give him quality of days. Amar Rav Acha Reyakov Ubedalet. That when you extend the word echad, it should be focused on the dalet at the end. So Rav Ashi, uvashal yachtof bechet. In order to extend the dalet, you shouldn't be cutting short the chet. So you have to say the chet fully and properly. Ashi says you shouldn't say the chet with a chataf or a chataf patach. Say it with the comments that's supposed to be there, an extended chet, and then the dalet will extend beyond that. So Rav Yirmei Aviyotiv kameid Rav Chir ba'avo. Yirmei was sitting by Rav Chir ba'avo. Chazid avu marech tuva. So it was going on for an extended period of time. Amalei kevin dam lichtei lemalo lemato. Once you have coronated God, accepted his yoke as the king, the Malamata in the heavens and in the earth, into the four directions, you don't need any more than that. I mean, that you don't have to extend that Chad shouldn't go on forever. It's just enough time for you to, in your mind, think about the fact that you're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim Varetz and to the four directions of the earth. Beyond that, you don't need to extend it. All right, now the Gemara continues. Amar Avnatan Bar Ukva Amar Rav Yehuda Alev Avecha Bamida. You have to say those words standing up. So Amar says, what do you mean? Alev Avecha Salkadatcha? Why would you have to stand up for those words? Ela Ema Ad Alev Avecha Bamida. You must stand until that point in Shema. Mikam Ve'elech Lo. From that point forward, you do not need to stand up. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Parsha Kula Bamida. The entire first paragraph is said standing up. As the Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with his opinion that we saw above before, which is Amar Rav Chana. Rabbi Yochanan Alocha Kravacha. Shamar Shum Rabbi Yehuda or Halacha Rabbi Yekiva that we saw above, that they think the halacha is that you need kavana for the entire first paragraph. So this is Rabbi Yochanan the Shita Tei. As far as what does it mean to stand up, we just learned before in the first paragraph that Beit Hillel says that you can do it Belechta Chabaderach, you can do it any way you want. So why do you have to stand up? So Rashi and Tosafot both mentioned over here, the Amidah that we're talking about here is to stand still. For someone who is walking on the Derech, even though technically you're allowed to say to Velechta Chabaderach, in order to have proper Kavanah, a person should stand still. And that's what the Gemara is discussing here. How long should a person stand still in order to have Kavanah and then move forward? One opinion is until Alev Avecha. You have to have Kavanah until that point in time. And that's where you have to stay stationary for. After that, you can continue to walk. On the other hand, you have Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, which is that you have to stay stationary for the entire first paragraph because you need Kavanah for that entire first paragraph of Shema. Through Uchtavtem HaMezuzot Beitecho Visharecho. Alright, Tan Rabbanan, this is an important factor. This is something that we mentioned again in our introduction to Brachot about what is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So over here we have Tan Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zu Kriyat Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That was the Kriyat Shema of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's all he said. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Which implies that that's the only mitzvah min HaTorah that is found in Kriyat Shema. So Amalei Rav, the Rav Chia, Rav, who we know was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of Rabbi, so he said to Rav Chia, who was his uncle, Lo chazino le the Rabbi de mekabalei ol malchut shemayim. I don't see Rabbi stopping to say Kriyat Shema any time. He's teaching us throughout the morning. He's not saying, it's missing the whole Zman Kriyat Shema. Amalei Bar Pachte, he said to Rav, you, the Ben Gdolim, the son of great ones, the son of Talmud HaChamim, Shashem Avir Yadav Al Panav, when he moves his hand across his face, mekabalei ol malchut shemayim. So it looks like he's scratching himself, looks like he's moving his hand on his eyes for a second to think. When he does that, he says Shema in that time, that's how he's Mekabel Malchut Shemaim. The Talmidei Rabbi Yonah mentioned something interesting over here. They say that the Kabbalat Malchut Shemaim over here relates to the chet. The chet has the two zions, it's connected by a roof on top. And they say that that relates to the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim Va'aretz, acceptance of Hashem as the king on the Shemayim and Aretz. And then the Dalet is for the Dalet Ruchot Olam. And that's how you get to these six items. So that's why you have to Yumarich and the Chet a little bit. And then the Dalet for a little bit more to get the four directions. And some people say that it's all in the Dalet, all six directions. So you have Kavanah should come out in the Dalet while Yumarich and the Dalet. The other thing he notes is that his Rebbe, Ravina Yonah, had a belief or a minog that he used to move his eyes around to the directions in which he was mekabel olmachut shemayim, his eyes upwards, downwards, to the sides, and to the other side, in order to indicate that they're mekabel olmachut shemayim, but in a quiet way. And that, he says, is why Rabbi put his hand over his eyes in order to say Shema. Put his hand over his eyes in order to say Shema, so that when he moved his eyes around, it wouldn't be noticeable that he was doing that, and in his kabbalat olmachut shemayim. So therefore, he covered his eyes. Other Rishonim say the reason he covered his eyes is for kabbalah, the same way that when he was walking, we say Amidah, that he has to stop, stand still in order to say Shema. So too, when it comes to Shema, you may want to cover your eyes in order to increase the Kavanah, that you're not looking around, you're not distracted while you're saying Shema, because that's the area that you really need to have Kavanah for. Chozer Gomra, when he'll Chozer Gomra? Does he later on go back and finish off Shema, or is that it? He just says Shema Yisrael, he's done. Bar Kapara Omer, Eino Chozer Gomra. Bar Kapara says that's it, he doesn't go back and say any more of it. Rishim Berabi Omer, his son, says that Chozer V'Gomra, that you do go back and finish it off. Samalei Bar Kapara, the Rishim Berabi. So Bar Kapara says to Rishim and the son of Rabbi, Bishlam Ad Didi Damino Inu Chozer V'Gomra. Then I say you don't go back and complete it. Hainu V'Dahad the Rabbi Ashmaita Did by Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's why Rabbi during his shir would always try to come across something that talked about or spoke about Yitziat Mitzrayim in order to be Yotze. The din of Yitziyat, mentioning Yitziyat Mitzrayim. You can't be Yotze that with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akeinu, Hashem Echad. So he went out of his way to say some memra that involved Yitziyat Mitzrayim. El Didcho Damar Chozer V'Gomra, if you're the one who says that he goes back and finishes off Kriyat Shema later, well, the value of finishing off later is that he also has Yitziyat Mitzrayim mentioned. Lama Leila Duri. Why did he try during his shir to get to some topic of Yitziyat Mitzrayim? Deles Gir Yitziyat Mitzrayim Bizmana. The answer is to say Yitziyat Mitzrayim in the same Zman as Kriyat Shema. That the Zman for Kriyat Shema is also the Zman for Yitziyat Mitzrayim, which seems strange. Because we know why Vishma Bayem Shemoa have a din of limited time in the morning, because it says Ushach B'chov Kumecha. The definition is not day, it's Uv Kumecha. But that's not true by Yitziyat Mitzrayim. It's the entire day. There's no limitation. So why here does the Gemara have this limitation that Yitziyat Mitzrayim should only apply during the time that it's Zman Kriyat Shema? This goes back again to what we saw in the Rambam, what we mentioned earlier, that the Rambam thinks that all three parshiyos, Shema, Vayim, Shemon, Vayomer, are part of Kriyat Shema. And why is that? And that is because I heard from Rabbi Sachs, in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that Shema is the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, and Yitziyat Mitzrayim is the acknowledgement that Hashem is the Mashkiach Ba'olam. So there are two separate parts of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. There's a recognition of God as the creator of the world, the all-powerful, the one who is above and directs everything, but there's also an acknowledgement, and that's what Yitziyat Mitzrayim does, is the acknowledgement that Hashem has not only created the world, but He is the Manhiga Olam. So they're like the difference between the Hashem of Breshit versus the Hashem of Yitziyat Mitzrayim. Hashem of Masei Breshit is the Hashem is the creator of the world. Hashem Yitziyat Mitzrayim is the one who is Mashkiach in the Olam, even after it was created. And therefore there is a link between the Shema Vayem Shemoa and Vayomer. And that link must be kept together because in the context of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, it's not enough to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad. You also have to have the acknowledgement of Yitziyat Mitzrayim to show that Hashem is still and is actively Mashkiach in the Olam. And that's why there might be a requirement for Yitziyat Mitzrayim Bizmana, Bizmana meaning during the Zman of Kriyat Shema, and also might be the explanation why the Rambam thinks that there are three paragraphs, Shema, Vayim, Shemon, and Tzitzit, Yitziyat Mitzrayim, are wrapped together as the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, because they are inextricably linked together. And again, as I mentioned earlier in this year, that might be the reason that we say Yitziyat Mitzrayim at night. I mentioned Yitziyat Mitzrayim at night because it might be part of the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. It's not just the mitzvah of Yitziyat Mitzrayim, it's also a part of the mitzvah of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. And therefore, even though there may not be a mitzvah at night to mention Yitziyat Mitzrayim, there may be a mitzvah mitzad Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim to mention Yitziyat Mitzrayim at night. And that's why the Rambam might require all three paragraphs at night as well. So, Amar Abila, Breder of Shmuel Bar Marta, Mishmid Rav, Amar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akeinu, Hashem Echad, V'nenas B'sheina, Yatzah. Person says the first pasuk, and then he dozes off. Now, dozes off here doesn't mean he literally dozes off, but mitnam name. His head is bobbing, he's starting to fall into a sleep. So therefore, if he got the first pasuk in with full kavanah, he's fine. Samarei Rav Nachman Daru Abdei, but Psuka Kamo, he said to Daru his servant, in the first pasuk when we're saying Shema Tzaron, Tve Lo Tzitzaron, bother us and make sure that we're awake fully for the first pasuk. After that, we start to doze off, or we're starting to lose it a little bit, don't worry about it. Samarei Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef prayed to Rabbo, Avuch, Hechava Ovid, what did your father do? Amalei Psuka Kama Havaka Mitzar Nafshei, Tvei Lo Havim Mitzar Nafshei. For the first pasuk, he ensured that he stayed up and that he was wide awake for it and had kavanah. After that, he did not force himself. So Amar Rav Yosef, Pirkadan Lo Yikra Kriyat Shema. Someone who is, now we've seen this before, the word Pirkadan over here, the Rishonim most all agree that Pirkadan means laying on your back. There is an alternative brought down in the Aruch that Pirkadan means lying flat on your belly. Tosafot in Baba Batra shows from the stories of Rabbi Bar Chanan, he also mentioned it in Nida as well, that Pirkei Dan means to lay on your back. So laying on your back is improper. Generally, we think the problem is because your aver might read up against the sheets, and that might cause some sort of chimum. Rashi says that chimum might be embarrassing, because then other people will see it, and it'll be exposed. But some of the other Rishonim say it's just a problem of being shofech shekhvat zeh levatala. So we don't want to say that. And plus, the problem is, Pirkei Dan is a problem of gaiva. To lay on your back and to be kabbal machut shemayim is a problem of God that we don't want you saying kriyat shema like that. So the Gemara says here, mikruhu delo likre. You're not allowed to read shema like this. Ha miganana shapir dami. It sounds like you can sleep like that. And I just mentioned before that the Gemara is in other places say you're not allowed to sleep like that. Rabbi Yishu ben Levi liyat amandagani apirkid. He cursed people who laid in that manner. Nothing to do with kriyat shema. Samri migana kimat le shapir dami. When you're sleeping, if you tilt your body slightly over to the side, that is sufficient. But mikra afagav dematzli nami asur. When it comes to saying Kriyat Shema, if you tilt yourself to the side a little bit, that's not sufficient. Mar says, Rabbi Yochanan Matzli Vikari. He used to do that. He used to tilt his body a little to the side and then he would read Kriyat Shema. Says, Shaini Rabbi Yochanan Devar Basar Avol. Yochanan's different because he was overweight. He was extremely heavy. He was a big person. Since he was such a big person, it was hard for him to roll all the way over to his side or to move over his side. So if he tilted himself in that direction, that was sufficient. So now the Gemara talks about our Mishnah, the Machlok between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, about where you're allowed to interrupt in Shema. Right here is just going to clarify the position of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir's position seems to be redundant in the Mishnah, which is Meishiv Machmat Mai. Who do you respond to? Ilami Pnei Kavod, you can respond by someone who you owe Kavod to. Hashta Mishal Shoyi. He already said that you're allowed to ask, you're allowed to greet someone who you have to have give Kavod to. Adore mi bai, you have to tell me that he can respond to them. Elashoyi Pnei Kavod, Meishiv Shalom Lechol Adam. It would imply that he's allowed to greet someone who he has to give Kavod to. And he can respond to anybody. So Ema Seifa. Now what about the Seifa? Emsa Shuel Mipnei Yira Mishiv. Says there you can ask because of Ira. If you have Ira, you can greet someone. Umeshiv, and you're allowed to respond to. Respond to who? Mashiv Machmad Mai. What was he, who's he responding to? Ilemi Machmad Mipnei Yira. He's responding to someone that he's fearful of. Hashta Misha Shoel Adure Miboy. If he can greet someone out of fear, then he certainly can respond to them out of fear. Elim Pnei Akavod. And rather, no, it means that he can ask Mipnei Yirab, meaning that he can be greet because of the Yirab, and then he can Meshiv Mipnei Kavod, and he can answer Mikavod. Basically, you know what you've just done? I know the Rabbi Yehuda. You just created Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Be'emsa Shalom Mipnei Yirab, Meshiv Mipnei Kavod, Prakrim Shalom Mipnei Kavod, Meshiv Shalom Lechol Adam. So you basically created Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the way you explained Rabbi Meir in order to get out of this problem, what Rabbi Meir is saying that you're allowed to greet and then answer. Well, answer is obvious. Once you can greet, of course you can answer. So why do you answer must be something else? Well, when you make it something else, it turns Rabbi Meir into Rabbi Yehuda, and that can't be. So Meir says, no, you have to understand, Chasurei Mechsara, the Mishnah is missing words, and this is what you have to do. Kavod, lomar, so the words, ain't Tzarech Lomar, are added in here to say it's obvious. So you're allowed to greet Mipnei Kavod, and obviously, that means that you can respond because of the Kavod. In the middle of the paragraphs, you can greet because of Yira. And certainly you can respond. Divrei Rabbi Meir. When you're in between, in the middle of the paragraphs, you're allowed to greet because of fear and respond to a greeting to someone you owe kavod. In between the paragraphs, you can greet someone that you're supposed to give kavod to. And you can respond to a greeting from anybody. Tanya Nami Ochi that supports that understanding of our Mishnah. Kureta Shmao Pagabo Rabo. Someone's reading Shema and his Rebbe shows up, O Gadol Emenu, or someone greater than him, but Prakim, if he's in between, Shu'el Mipnei HaKavod, then he's allowed to greet him. Vein Tzarech L'ma Shu'el Meshiv, certainly he can respond to them. Ube Emtza, if he's in the middle of Kriyat Shema, Shu'el Mipnei HaYira, he's allowed to greet them because of Yira, Vein Tzarech L'ma Shu'el Meshiv. Of course, he can respond to that, someone out of fear. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Ehud Amer, Be Emtza, Shu'el Mipnei HaYira, he's in the middle of the paragraphs, he's allowed to greet out of fear. Then he's allowed to respond out of honor. And if he's in between the paragraphs, he's allowed to greet because of someone that he owes honor to. Mashim shalom lechol adam, and he's allowed to respond b'shalom to any person. One thing I want to note here is an important Tosafot. Tosafot here says, what we're talking about here are greetings. What you're allowed to interrupt Kriyat Shema in terms of greeting of lay people. Question that Tosafot has, what happens if the tzibur hits Kaddish or Kedusha while you're in the middle of Shema? Are you allowed to interrupt your Shema in order to answer the Kaddish or the Kedusha? Or to Modim, all these different things. Are you allowed to respond when you're in the middle of Kriyat Shema? So Tosafot says, we have here a machlokah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. And according to halacha Rabbi Yehuda, even in the emtsa, you're meshiv b'mnei hakavod. You can respond to a greeting even out of kavod, out of honor. And if that's the case, then why is the kavod Hashem any less than the kavod Adam? If you can respond to someone because of kavod Adam, why can't you respond to Kaddish and Kedusha and Modim because of kavod Shamayim? The Talmid Rabbi Yehuda note that maybe here there's a havamina that it shouldn't be that way because over here, you're speaking in the Shvachay de Hashem, you're speaking about the praises of Hashem, maybe you shouldn't have to respond because you're doing only one praise to go to another praise. So the Ar Rishonim believe that you do not interrupt in these cases, but Rova Rishonim, including Tosafot here, that the Ben Riona say you do interrupt Shema for Kaddish, Kedusha, and Modim to respond to these items, because just like you respond for Kavod Adam, even in the middle of Shema, so too you respond to these items, even in the middle of Shema. The Talmid Rabbi Yonah point out, when you respond, we only respond in the short form. So that means in Kaddish, you're responding Amen, or Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah, that's fine. You can say any of those things, those are very short form. By Kedusha, you can answer, whether it's Kadosh Kadosh, Baruch Vod Hashem, Yimloch, those are short things, you can do that. Moldim is an extremely long paragraph to put in the middle of your Shema, and it might even turn out to be interruption, it may not be necessary, and therefore the Talmid Rabbi Yonah say that, when you respond to Modim, you just have to say the first couple words. You say Modim anachnu lach. And the first couple words, Modim anachnu lach, and then you stop. You don't say the entirety of Modim. Now, all of this is true in Kriyat Shema. This is not true in Shmon Esrei. When it comes to Shmon Esrei, you do not have that dispensation because you're not allowed to respond to anybody in Shmon Esrei. So too, you will not interrupt for any of these items when you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei. And you stand there, according to Tosfot, and listen. And therefore, like, for instance, if in the middle of Shmon Esrei they got to Modim, you'll bow down along with them for Modim, but you won't say anything because you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and you don't have a right to interrupt for one of those items. We'll deal later on in the Gemara what you do, whether you stand still and listen or you can continue davening. Question about how Shomei HaKa'oneh works. When you stand there and listen, how does that function? And how it functions have implications in terms of what you do when you're in Shmoneh Esrei. But nevertheless, when you're in Shmoneh Esrei, you don't actively respond to these items. And if you hit Modim, you just bow down, but you don't say anything. But you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And again, we mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta that just like here we have a machloket about the extent of the kavanah that one requires, there's also a machloket about what Kriyat Shema is min haTorah. The two might correlate with each other. It might be that if you think that Shema min haTorah is only Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that might be the only area that you need kavanah. On the other hand, if you believe that the whole first paragraph is Kriyat Shema min haTorah, maybe the whole thing requires kavanah. So again, the two might be correlated. They don't have to be correlated. But I'm just mentioning it again. It seems to be here, like Rabbi's statement, we only say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, during the Zman indicates that the mitzvah min haTorah, according to Rabbi, of Shema. Okay, we'll stop over here.